Lesson 14. Section 1. News Summary.
Here is a summary of the news. No general election yet, says the Prime Minister. 5 people die in an earthquake in central Italy. And £250,000 is stolen from a security van. In a speech in the City of London last night, the Prime Minister announced that there will be no general election in the near future. Talk of a quick election was pure speculation, she said. A general election would be held when it was in the best interests of the nation to do so. In central Italy, several small towns and villages are still cut off by avalanches following the earthquake during the night which killed 5 people. It was central Italy's strongest earthquake for several years, and hundreds of people have been made homeless. In Rome, as well as in Florence, Naples, and Perugia, gas pipes were broken, windows shattered, and electric cables thrown onto the streets. Thieves got away with almost £250,000 after a security van was ambushed in central London early this morning. The security van was rammed by a lorry as it was taking a shortcut through a narrow street off Piccadilly. 3 masked men then threatened the driver and his assistant with shotguns and forced one of them to unlock the van. The thieves made their escape in a car parked nearby. This car was later found abandoned in South London. The driver of the van and his assistant were badly shaken, but not seriously hurt. The flight recorder of the DC-10 airliner, which crashed in the Antarctic a fortnight ago, has shown that the plane was flying normally just before impact. All 257 people on board the aircraft died when it hit the side of a volcano. The investigation into what happened is still going on. Voting is taking place today in the Euro constituency of London South West. This by-election for the European Parliament is being held because of the death of the previous member, Mr. Harold Friend. At the last election, Mr. Friend had a majority of 17,000 over his nearest opponent. Talks on a formula for ending the strike at independent television get underway in London this afternoon. Looking forward to the meeting, the General Secretary of the Association of Cinematograph, Television and Allied Technicians, Mr. Albert Tapper, said it was taking place on the basis of new proposals from the companies. He hoped it would lead to a basis for negotiations, but he refused to speculate on the chances of success. 15 people are to appear in court in Manchester today following disturbances on a train bringing football supporters back from matches in London. Eyewitnesses report that the trouble began when groups of rival supporters whose teams had both been playing London clubs began to insult each other. After fighting had broken out, police boarded the train just outside Manchester and arrests were made. British Rail have announced that they are considering withdrawing all soccer specials operating from Manchester.
Section 2. Part 1. Bearded Lady.
Tell me, Mrs. Clark, how did you come to be a bearded lady?
Well, it all began when I started growing a beard.
And when was that exactly?
Just after my 4th birthday, I believe.
Really? As early as that? Didn't you see a doctor?
Oh, yes. My parents took me to dozens of specialists.
And what did they have to say?
They just told me to shave.
And that's all the advice they could give? So you started shaving?
Well, I was too young to be allowed to use a razor. And electric razors weren't even thought of in those days. So my dad used to shave me once a week before going to church on Sundays.
And when did you stop shaving?
Oh, that would have been when I was around 15. You see, it was growing at an enormous rate. Something like 5 inches a day.
Really?
I mean, you could almost see it growing. It was so thick. I mean, a razor or scissors were no use.
So you let it grow?
Well, it was taking so much time trying to keep it down. And I was just wasting my time fighting a losing battle. So I thought, I'll just let it grow. And that's when I came to work in the circus. I was spotted by a talent scout.
Do you ever cut your beard now?
Oh, yes. Every week I chop off a few feet. I have to cut it, or I fall over it if I don't remember to wrap it round my waist.
What about the circus? How did you find it at first, being stared at all day?
Well, I must admit, it was a bit unnerving at first. What with people gaping at you as though you were a goldfish in a bowl.
Mm.
I used to feel like saying, it's all right, dear. It's not that unusual, you know. It's only a bit of extra hair. Not another head or something. But you get used to the pointing and laughing in the end. Then hardly notice it anymore. Even the jokes don't upset me now. It's a bit boring, in fact, after 30 years, just sitting here all day being stared at. But still, there's always the breaks. And then the 10-foot woman and the midget from next door come in for a cup of tea and a chat. That passes the time nicely.
Would you say there were any advantages to having a 15-foot long beard?
Well, my husband says it keeps his toes warm on cold nights.
Task 2. At a youth center.
Anyone want another Coke or something?
I think we're all drinking, Paul. Thanks, just the same.
I was thinking, what would you youngsters do without the youth centre? You'd be pretty lost, wouldn't you?
All right, I suppose. But I'm telling you, we don't need no bloody youth club to find something to do. Me, well, I only come here when there's a dance on. Them books what come all the time. Well, they need their heads examined. If I want a drink, well, there's a pub, isn't there?
But how old are you, Paul? 16. You can't drink in pubs. It's illegal.
No barman's ever turned me out yet. Anyway, thanks for the drink. What about a dance, Denise?
I don't mind.
Come on in.
Would you care to dance, Mrs. Brent?
Oh, thank you. But no, the music isn't of my generation. You know, the generation gap. When I was young, I'd never dared speak as Paul just did. Especially with a clergyman present.
What sort of world do you think we live in, Mrs. Brent? It's part of my job to know people, and especially young people, as they are.
Please don't misunderstand me. I only thought it offensive.
Well,
my own
why son. Do it? In a sense, I feel it's a kind of compliment.
Compliment?
Well, don't get me wrong. Paul feels free to express himself with me just as he would with his friend. He accepts me as a kind of friend.
And really, the so-called generation gap is a myth, you know. Teenagers aren't really so different. As a teacher, I find them quite traditional in their attitudes.
But look at the way they dress. And their hair.
You haven't got the point, I think. Those things are quite superficial. I agree with Mr. Finchley. Basically, their attitudes are very similar to those of my generation.
So you approve of the kind of language we heard from Paul just now?
No, I didn't say that. Anyway, the concepts of approval and disapproval tend to oversimplify matters. Every generation creates its own special language, just as it creates its own styles and clothes and music.
It's just that the styles and habits of today's teenagers are so, well, basically, so unacceptable.
You mean unacceptable to you?
No, I mean unacceptable to the rest of society.
When you come to think of it, I mean, I'm always on at my boy about his clothes.
So you find them unacceptable too?
No, just let me finish. I was about to say that, in fact, his clothes are very practical, very simple.
Anyway, the generation gap is non-existent. I mean, the idea of teenagers, of a teenage generation that... which has rejected the values of its parents for a sort of mixture of violence and lethargy, well, it's totally unrealistic.
I do wish you had a teenage son or daughter of your own, Mr. Finchley.
But I have more contact with them.
I'm not implying that you have no understanding of their problems.
My contact with them, as a teacher of English, is close. You see, we have regular discussions. They very often carry on after school and here at the youth centre. You'd find them interesting. You could come and sit in sometime if you like.
So that'd be interesting.
I'd be too embarrassed to say anything.
I don't mean there's any need for you to take part in the discussion. Just listen. And you'd realize, I think, just how traditional their attitudes are.
For example?
For example, you probably wouldn't think so, but the majority have a firm belief in marriage and in the family.
Those are things I have never talked about with my boy.
And one very clear, very notable thing is that they are always looking for opportunities to help others.
Well, Tony doesn't help much in the house.
To help others, that is, who really need help. Not just helping with the washing up, Mrs. Brent. Anyway, another point that's come out of the discussions is that nearly all of them, about 90%, I should say, get on well with their parents.
Oh, but
most disagreements seem to be over hair and general appearance.
Then we've called those superficial.
Exactly.
I like the idea of sitting in on a discussion. I'll take you up on that.
Fine. And, Mrs. Brent, as you would find it embarrassing.
Well, I didn't really mean embarrassing. It's just that, you know.
There's a book you ought to read, published by the National Children's Bureau. It's called Britain 16-Year-Olds. I'll lend you my copy.
That's very kind of you. Look, I'd better be going. From the way my son's dancing, he'll be at it all night.
Have you got a car, Mrs. Brent?
No, there's a bus.
Then please, let me give you a lift.
I wouldn't want to take you out of your way.
Not at all. Anyway, we have to take an example from the youngsters, don't we? Helping those in need, I mean. Well, we'll say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Section 3. Recognizing the main idea.
1.
How was trade conducted then without money to pay for goods? The answer is by bartering. Bartering is the process by which trade takes place through the exchange of goods. Money is not used as payment. Instead, one good is traded for another good.
2.
As trade became more common as a result of people's interdependence upon one another, it was necessary to develop or invent a more convenient method of payment. Consequently, a new form of exchange medium, money, was introduced into society.
3.
Of course, the evolution from a total barter society to one that was totally monetized didn't occur overnight. In fact, today there are still societies that are not monetized, although they account for an insignificant amount of world trade. In the interim between a barter world and a monetized world, both systems operated together.
4.
As I stated earlier, money has a specific value, but due to certain conditions, the money, or currency as money is referred to, of some countries is more valuable than that of other countries.
5.
It's difficult to give examples of barter deals because in most cases the terms of the contract aren't disclosed. In some cases we don't hear about barter transactions simply because they work so well. If one company has arranged a profitable exchange, it'll be very quiet about it so that its competitors will not come in and try to make a better deal.
6.
It's unlikely that the world will revert to a totally barter-oriented existence, but until the economic disorder that's present in today's world is remedied, bartering will probably become increasingly important as an exchange medium.